on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt or sweet, sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. Thank you for your support.
And it's about a half a minute after 4 o'clock, and good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice. Spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And before I bring up what's coming up on this show, just for a minute, or so here, just carrying on from that promo that you just heard. It began November 1st and runs through December 31st, so we're in our very final days of CFRC's annual funding drive. We have a goal of reaching $25,000, and we still have a ways to go to get there, so just thought I'd bring it up. This will be the last show that I can do that on. So I would say, though, that without CFRC, there wouldn't be this this show. And that's why this station and this funding drive are so important to me. This show has allowed me to be able to honor the work of other writers and share over, I think, probably 1,300 lit events, happenings, and interviews and with other poets over the last, poets and authors, I should say, and maybe even musicians over the last almost 16 years. Crazy how fast time goes. For those who've donated, my heartfelt thanks, and I know there are many of you out there who have. If you haven't yet, but may have been thinking about it, please check it out. Check out the website, www.cfrc.ca, and click on the donate button, and you can just page down through and see what we need to do with the funds that are received, and also what we've done in the past and how you can contribute if you are so inclined. And just to let you know, every little bit helps. It all adds up. Now, coming up on the show today in the first hour, from an October 24th event in the Drift Line Reading and Press Series, created by Wanda Pramsma and Vincent Perez, you'll hear the launch of Chris Turnbull's chapbook with them. That chapbook is called Parts Path. Everlovin' Press is the press. This was done in an event at the Baby Grand Theater. And with Chris launching, you'll also hear guest poets Y.S. Lee and Jennifer Baker. And then in the second hour, you'll hear the second portion of that Drift Line event. And in it, you'll hear the performance of a play. I guess it's actually called a play poem, titled A Mother is a Portal, and that's written by Liz Huntley Jench and performed on stage by a number of actors, with Liz also part of that as well. And to start off with this hour, just my usual start, and it is to let you know that occasionally some poetry, prose, or music aired on this show may contain strong language, but I try to include as much as possible to maintain the integrity of both the poet, author, or performer and the piece. So let's go ahead and move straight into the first portion of the event. Again, from an October 24th event in the Drift Line Reading and Press Series, again created by Wanda Pramsma and Vincent Perez. You'll hear the launch of Chris Turnbull's chapbook with them called Parts Path. And again, this event was held at the Baby Grand Theater. You'll also hear readings by guest poets Y.S. Lee and Jennifer Baker. I believe the first person you'll hear is Wanda introducing the event. So here we go.
Well, welcome everyone to the Driftline Press launch event. I'm Wanda Pramsma. I think many of you know me, and I'm so happy to see so many people I know here tonight and many others. I, along with Vince Perez, we're running Driftline Press, and this is the launch event. And so I'm so delighted that you all chose to come out tonight and support us and so many wonderful artists and writers. It's really exciting to reach this point, the point of launching a small literary press here in Kingston with Vince, releasing Driftline's first book out into the world, Parts Path by Chris Turnbull, and presenting readings from special guests Y.S. Lee from Kingston and Jennifer Baker from Ottawa. And in addition, we are collaborating on this evening's event with poet Liz Huntley Yench, who is presenting her play poem, A Mother is a Portal, part of the writing she's been working on as the inaugural Stephen Hyten Fellow at the Al Purdy A-Frame and Queen's University. So before I go any further, we would like to acknowledge that we are hosting this event on the traditional lands originally known as Cataraqui, lands of the Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee, and Huron-Wendat peoples. We recognize the longer history of this region, one that predates the earliest establishment of European colonies. We recognize and respect the relationship the Indigenous peoples had and continue to have with this land, and that their practices, ways of knowing, and spiritualities are very much tied to the land. We are grateful for their historical and ongoing stewardship of the land, and we are grateful to be able to live, work, learn, and play here in Cataraqui. So before we head into tonight's performances, Vince and I would like to say a few words about Driftline Press itself. Many of you know, I think, that Driftline began as a poetry and music series in 2024 here in Kingston. There are probably many of you here tonight who performed, read your poems at these very special events held at Musiki and Hotel Wolf Island. It was great fun. So I paused it for the past months. I think the last event that we did was last November, and it was during this time that I began talking with Vince, and together we dreamed up the idea of shifting Driftline into a small literary press, crafting beautiful literary works of art and supporting poets and writers here and from farther away. Vince is an artist and designer and runs his own print shop, Everlevin, with many old letter presses with movable type that went obsolete in the 60s and 70s, which he can definitely talk more about, and I will leave that to him. And I am a poet and writer, many of you know that. And so together, Vince and I seem to have this shared impulse to take on and continually delve into new projects. Let's call this project number 847. And we're always excited for what's next. It seemed right for us to work together on this next phase of Driftline. It also helps that our daughters are best friends. And so while they play and create imaginary worlds and games together, we get to talk about poetry and art and what the possibilities are and could be and what we could bring into the world. We wouldn't be here without poets willing to hand over their work to us. We are grateful to Chris Turnbull for trusting us on this first Driftline book, letting us experiment, make mistakes, generally just letting us run with the work. So thank you, Chris. Chris is sitting over here. These are all the poets we're going to read, and then we have our A Mother is a Portal all the actors and Liz over on this side. So I think the result is pretty incredible. This is a beautiful work. The poems themselves and the physical piece. You'll hear the poems shortly, and then you can go and see and hold the book and leaf through, see for yourselves if the poems and the materials have made a good home together. Our goal with Driftline is to create more chapbooks in various intriguing forms, both physical forms and literary forms. We'll publish poetry, small essays, and small fictions. With these works, we will lean into experimentation. We'll be seeking to invigorate the conversation around language and the conversation between word, image, and design. And that conversation includes you, which I can't really see many. These events where we bring in the community and share with you what we and the poets and writers have been up to. Vince, would you like to say a few words about the medium and creating these works before I sort of outline the run of the show tonight?
Yeah, thanks for coming, everybody. That was so well said. I'll just introduce myself a little further. As Wanda said, I'm a letterpress printer. And I've been printmaking for a living for almost 20 years now. And I have a print shop where I house two letterpress presses from the middle 20th century. And I've got cabinets of movable type, and I mainly serve commercial clients. But occasionally I also print for arts and letters, and I'm interested in book arts. So when the opportunity came up to collaborate with Wanda on a publishing program, and especially one where we could experiment with the format of the book, I jumped at it. I'm so pleased with the result and with the opportunity to work with Chris's typesetting and design. I guess we'll see where things go from here, but I am really pleased with your presence, and I think this is a fine start. I hope you'll come see me after the show. I'll be in the lobby selling these books and talking shop. If you've ever had an interest in the medium and in the application of the medium to maybe your own work, I would love to discuss that with you. Thanks again for coming. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Vince. Yeah, as Ben said, we're just so happy to have you here and to be at this launch and to have your support. And it is our hope, as Ben said, that you'll continue to be curious about Driftline and to get in touch, follow us, ask questions about our plans, ask about publishing with us. And as Ben said, intermission at the end, we'll talk shop with him and take a look at the book. So now we're going to move actually into the show, the program for tonight. And we're going to start with the poetry launch. And we are so happy to have Y.S. Lee and Jennifer Baker here to read their work before Chris Turnbull reads from Parts Path, this work from Driftline. And then after the press launch, we will pause for an intermission. You can get drinks, there's snacks out there, ask questions, buy books. And then we will return here for the presentation of Liz Huntley Yench's A Mother is a Portal. And I just want to make a small note, just from many other poetry readings. We encourage clapping between poems, I think. I hope all the poets are in agreement with me on this. It may not so well for the play poem, but just not at the end of the set. We love to just hear the audience's reactions and enthusiasm if they like the poems. So we are going to begin. I'd like to introduce Y.S. Lee. Y.S. Lee's poems have won Contemporary Verse's Verse 2's 2022 Foster Prize and been finalists for various awards in Canada, the US, and Australia. Her first full-length poetry collection, Rebuke the Ghosts, will be published by Brick Books in 2027. She is a member of the Villanelle's writing group. She also writes fiction, which includes the critically acclaimed YA mystery series, The Agency, which was translated into 6 languages and won the Canadian Children's Book Center's inaugural John Spray Mystery Award. Her first picture book, Mrs. Nobody, is published by Groundwood Books. So please welcome Y.S. Lee.
Thank you so much. I'm actually really lucky to have Wanda reading here with me tonight. I'm going to read from... I have a chapbook that's coming out in 2027 with the Alfred Gustav Press, and I thought I'd better read something from it while I still like it a lot. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about it in 18 months' time, 20 months' time. So this is from... These are going to be selections from a long poem called Care, which is, as the title suggests, about caregiving. Jumping to page 3.
Okay.
Once you have a child, medical strangers call you mom, by which they mean dispenser of meds, spooner of foods, hygiene officer, secretary, night watch, speaking clock, junior EMT, coal mine canary, unreliable narrator, scapegoat. It's not so different caring for a parent. Keep doing what you're doing. Just abandon hope. We are a dyad again. She lashed by biology. Me by love and duty. Which is another way to say biology, I guess. We need to think about language. We need a dish of yogurt. We need 10 minutes alone. We need to record the time of the last dose. We need the neighbor to fuck off already with the pressure washer. We need to replump the pillow. We need to hop on a quick Zoom call. We need to lie down. We need a moment to ourselves, just 1 minute. There's no negotiation. It's all negotiation. Caregiver, caretaker. Certify in first aid and CPR. The intermediate course has more practice sessions, longer tests. I bruise the backs of both hands doing chest compressions to the beat of staying alive. Alternatively, another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one gone. It's true. I think about cartilage tearing and bones cracking under my good intentions, blood pooling beneath the time-thinned skins of both patient and carer. At what point do you stop CPR?
Emergency.
As in life, there are multiple answers. You stop when EMTs arrive and take over. You stop when someone with equivalent training relieves you. You stop when depleted and alone and you can't go on. Once a complete choking patient stops choking, through some combination of back blows, abdominal thrusts, and chest thrusts until they hork out whatever choked them, they likely have separation of the ribs and sternum, maybe cracked ribs, maybe a punctured lung, esophageal tissues so inflamed they may swell enough to re-choke their body. Oh, lucky ones, even our wounds re-wound us. The 5 stages of grief. Insomnia. Whispered phone calls.
Procrastination.
Catastrophization. Doom scrolling.
Task.
Macabre jokes. Crying. Silence. But of course, they aren't linear. How else could we cry so much? What do I do with all these feelings? It's like being 13 again, volcanic with grief and rage. It's not like being 13 again. I slept 3 hours last night, four the night before, and before, and before. Wake up. Get up. Stand up. Button up. Eat up. Giddy up. Giddy up. Horse is a horse, of course, of course. Show up. Buckle up. Pick up. Pay up. Set up. Fuck up. Back up. Make up. Suck it up. Hold up. Blow up. Look up. Catch up. Shut up. Listen up. Throw up. Clean up. Grow up. Keep up. Chin up. Break up. End up. Waiting. Give up.
Keep
no.
Waiting.
No.
Hiding.
You can't. Maybe it's impossible to care for someone else. Maybe I'm just a fence. A fence so she can't wander into traffic. A fence hard and sharp when she bumps against it. A fence unexpected and undeserved. And when she kicks the fence, she breaks a toe. And the fence tries to be empathetic and all, but mostly the fence is a goddamn fence. Does anyone wonder about its fenceness? It is mostly easy to be kind. I think of myself as kind. I have trained myself to be kind. I have worked at learning kindness. I practice patience with small children and needy strangers. I have never hit someone, I mean, not since childhood when I hit my brother, but not since then. Not since then. I take a breath before answering. It is mostly easy to be kind, but not at 4 fucking a.m. when she doesn't know why she woke me or what she wants. What I want. To hurl the commode like a discus. Flip the armchair with its closet's worth of once-worn shirts. A tantrum for a tantrum. Single spark of anger torching each accrued kindness to cinder and smoke. If only kindness counted as matter, it would be some consolation to see it flame into energy, ping its way around this broad-lumped mausoleum. Maybe then kindness would count for something. Maybe then kindness could be enough. Sometimes I dream about running away.
What for?
A neighbor who never calls me, calls me. I answer because he must be confused. I hope he hasn't fallen. I wonder how to get hold of his daughter. I'm calling because I'm getting maid next weekend. Pardon? Maid! Medical assistance in dying! Next weekend! I'll be dead! Solve the equation. X equals things you say to the family at a funeral, plus things you say to a friend emigrating to Mars, all divided by awareness that this is neither. Oh, brave new world that has such conversations in it. He is on the phone, and later that week at the park. Then he isn't. She will be until she stops. I am. For now. Oh, the nowness of everything. We trembling, zealous beasts, all kinds of intertwined. we are.
Thank you so much, Ying.
It's cool.
I love that. Next up is Jennifer Baker. Jennifer Baker is a poet, editor, and professor of literature and creative writing living and working in Ottawa. She is the author of 3 chapbooks, including Abject Lessons from Above Ground Press 2014, Groundling from Trainwreck Press 2021, Ryoshi by Above Ground Press in 2023, and Memento Mishka, Apartment 9 Press, 2023. Her experimental eco-poetry can be found in Canadian and international publications, including Cantheus, Arc Poetry Magazine, Doozy, and the Delisted Project. Please welcome Jennifer Baker.
Thank you so much, Wanda, for having me, and thank you, Chris, and also congratulations both. Cars Path is a really beautiful book, so you should. I thought I would start by reading something new. It's from a work in progress, and it's from a long poem that I'm writing about the time that I made my new husband do something truly dangerous on our honeymoon. And so it's from a long poem. It's going to be called A Walk, A Ramble. And for some context, this is just what it says in the epigraph, sort of in the beginning. In June 2025, 2 poets and relatively inexperienced hikers decide to walk the West Highland Way in 6 days for their honeymoon. It runs from Glasgow to Fort William for 154 kilometers through the remote highlands of Scotland. This is how it went. And so this section is from a section called Loch Lomondside, and it's called Roardennan to Inversnaid. Morning, June 21st, 2025, 11 kilometers. Wake to smattering rain on single-pane windows. My phone has been unplugged from the wall in the night. It wasn't me, nor Dave. And again, I note the flickering bathroom light on and off in an empty bathroom. I know there is a motion sensor. Imagine the kilted Highland soldier triggering the switch, gleefully pulling my phone cord from the wall, leaving us stranded in the wilderness later in the day. But it seems unromantic to mention on our honeymoon. Back in the Klansman bar for a full vegetarian Scottish, Trump has been silenced on the TV. But Laura greets us, says, "We've bombed Iran." Is a good American about it, devastated. We sit on the other side of the room, watch the rain pummel the lock. By 7:30, we've chased each other cartoonishly around the hotel. I have gone to fill our water bottles from the outdoor tap. Dave has taken one last bathroom break before we head off in pouring rain. It is 10 minutes before we end up together again. Rod has called from tonight's rooming house in Crianlark, warns in a message, "It's pouring, and there's that scramble over Lomondside. Very rocky, very slippery. Take great care." I joke and call him Highland Dad. A scramble sounds like fun. We get our bearings, begin our lakeside walk to Inveraray, meet up with some other Americans from Maine who are also sorry. A long-legged university administrator and his wife, a retired psychology professor, short-stocked and huffing beside him, wildly swinging poles. They apologize again for their country, and we break off in pairs by cadence. Chat books through rain patter and pole clack. The track is smooth carriageway. Given the choice, we choose Highlander Military Trails, the high road that sheltered Rob Roy, cramped cave and green riot looms overhead. We cannot hear below two young Scottish men on the low road, Loman's stony banks, but here they've attempted the most dangerous path, bad track, bouldering above Loman's void. Our friends pull ahead and we are alone, soft patter and gravel crunch. I know the roads will join and do, and suddenly Loman is a tree-tipped granite boot poised above us. Not malicious, indifferent. The threat is to be crowded out by mountainside, slip on rain-slick rocky water breaks, falls careen across waterproof boots, and suddenly the tips of my poles are the forelegs of an unsteady baby deer, the awkward posture of searching for stones in the rushing water. Have you found your path? Rushing falls to rushing falls, only occasional relief from narrow mountainside cling, and clearing to glimpse Doré's Le Monde. As descending clouds break truce with mountaintops, I feel it in my chest, the hovering weight of stone. I could cry at the banality of the car park at the Inversnaid Hotel, over one last footbridge defying the mountain's face's roaring watershed, berating the misted waters as we cross. And two figures emerge with us, strip rain gear and giggle. The oldest, we will learn, is 91, from Vancouver. That was nice. As we squint into five-star luxury, the back entrance for walkers, and sip tea, I text our friends back home. We survived the hardest bit, traversed all these waterfalls, drenched. There is still the long trek to Cranlark this afternoon, but inside, I curl up and purr. And so just a spoiler, that was not the hardest part. Comes directly afterwards. The second poem I wanted to read is from a project called Delistage. I've been working on with several poets, both Canadian American. It was run by Jennifer Culkins and will be released as an anthology in 2026. And the Delisted project tries to get closer to extinct species that have been taken off of the extinct species list in the States. And so I was working on two species. The first is blue pike, and the second was longjaw cisco. And so I've written a poem about blue pike, but just as some context, blue pike is a fish that used to be in Lake Erie that was, it went extinct in 1966. And when something is taken off of the endangered species list or delisted, it's that they stop looking for it and basically abandon hope of finding it. And so this is my poem for blue pike. Stalk lithe darkness, tail flicker and hunger. Tip the scale, catch the light beneath mirror surface. The occasional shadow through spiked light. Language is the hand we use to grasp the flutter. Fulsome grip, straining muscle. The gulf between data and experience rises through us, streaks blue on blue, fin and sinew hooked to question, the impenetrable other eye, reads subspecies, DNA confirms, we hope, the taxonomy absolves toxin, a dead lake, acid rain, systems collapse. We continue business as usual. On surface, sing your dirges. She left. She left. Maybe she will return. So beautiful. So beautiful. I thought I would finish one by reading from Memento Mishka. And this was a collection of poems that I wrote with my husband about a dog we lost who was very special. And so I'm going to read a poem called A Different Kind of Person. We were so scared to lose you months ago after your horrific accident on the wrought iron fence, a life-threatening impalement. But as I ran up the street to meet you and Dave with a towel, fighting dread, you turned, tail wagging. Oh, there you are, my person. No one told me you would be here too. I don't think you ever thought fair or unfair, only here or not here. Thank you.
Wonderful to have you here. So I'm so pleased now to introduce Chris Turnbull, who's going to read from her newly released chapbook, Parts Path. Chris is the author of Cypher, Beautiful Outlaw Press, Untitled, In Own, Q Books, and Continua from Showdeer Books / Invisible Press. Her most recent chapbook is X Degrees, Gap Riot Press, 2024. Additional writing, collaborations, and installations are in print, online, and within landscapes. She curates a foot press, Root, whereby poetry can be found on trails. She lives near Ottawa, within the not ceded and unsurrendered territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe. Chris Turnbull.
Thanks for being here, everyone. And thanks, Jen, and me, and Vince and Wanda for Parts Path and for organizing the launch. Can you hear me?
No.
I was kind of quiet. I was thanking everyone, and now that's done. Thank you again. Parts Path is frankly beautiful. Thank you, Vince. I don't know if you can see it, but Vince has this beautiful vellum on the front, and these lovely photos that he's put into this rather lovely green. And Parts Path is a visual array, so this really helps with how I might read the chapbook. It's an attempt to record the kinetics of noting something, so perception, looking, and observation when in movement within an outdoor setting. I spend a lot of time outdoors, and it's quite a kinetic space. It's quite a mnemonic space. And so Parts Path is partially that action of moving through a space, recall, and then also how does memory function in a non-linear way. And some of that gets in later to the book. So on the page, it's split with little notes, some short essay paragraph, and then some, in some places a larger sort of text that runs over, and they're all interconnected. But again, it's how you reconnect with observations you've seen when moving, or later when you're home or whatever, but also when you are actually following a path or a part path, you're only noticing partially what's happening, usually in a visual sense, and for those who are auditory, obviously you're noting that stuff as well. But I'm interested in the form of notation and noting. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, Fox saw us and paused. January. It sounds grand and loose to note composition, twigging from the adjective composé, drawn and combined, written and acoustic, collections of type, scratches, blots, blurs, spit, and scrawls contain qualities of forwardness, bend. I notice a soft verb suspended in aporia. It is dislodging with breeze as I weave past. Fox saw us and paused, snowshoe hair in its mouth. On the way, milkweed, bracket fungi, claw slashes, wind prints on clouds or leaf or stream, articles, nut hatches, faint beak scrapes on pine, raven gargle and feather drifts, snowshoe hair in its mouth, limp and dragging. Passing by silver maples whose achenes reach a brittle stage and are flung into snow and subsiding winter. Just this morning, I passed ash berries, lying in staccato, leaking across surface glare. If I fall walking through clatter, it's into snow which has the lumen brilliance of an Agnes Martin grid. Another day, or over there, beaver sluice, striated, defies the kinds of placements I construct to prioritize space when a page emerges. Fox saw us and paused, snowshoe hair in its mouth, limp and dragging. It took the trail we were about to take. Today, call and act a scene. There's always something unsensed to foster backdrop. In New Mexico, what reminds one of Saskatchewan? I can barely sew a stitch, but safflower or tagetes recta can each make a fine pigment. It was early. Trails had a bit of field. February 8th, snow buntings, loose from journal. 500. March. Eventually this meadow and years of photos will be developed. It's already laid out in rectangles, has road access, and I've been told repetitively that its soil is substandard for any meaningful agricultural effort, I mean enterprise. There is fertility in repetitive telling, even unsubstantiated telling. Maybe these photos memorialize the meadow's future in the same way seeds of these plants do. Writing does not memorialize the seeds. Regeneration, recovery, writing memorializes collective losses. There is, once there, meadow, unmattering. Scattered prepositions use articles for breath. Karst, dusty soil, has already accounted for slow and massive evaporation, first cracks, then paths, then less us. Wind will push other seeds to bank against houses or townhomes or commercial real estate, and someone will pay to have the plants removed. But never mind these dormant seeds. Turf. Man came out of nowhere. Meadowed will mean a cul-de-sac with ring included in the pricing. In most seasons, pollen travels materially or floats unnoticed, but for sensitive, those. In winter, cedar, Queen Anne's lace, and alder seeds fill in the outlines left along the way by snowshoe hares, fox, coyote, and fisher. Man came out of nowhere with his dog and asked if we heard him yelling, "Coyote." No. Somewhere else, other species fill in what is sunken or disintegrating. Sometimes what's left is fur or wings, decomposing snippet of form, interrupted, rippling with carrion beetles, eaten, carried away. What word is there for this actuality? Or meadowing, maybe entirely self-pollinated. Seeds in lowercase, punctuate elsewhere. Ocean, spring hole, culvert, occupied by succession. Never mind. Never to be recorded, even unrecorded, not noticed, or policies undreamt here, a sign. No Polaroid sharp enough to look through this. Tiniest fungi, and an entire summer to identify it and still not be entirely sure. April. darkness, long vapor, stars. Guess. New constellations are required. Retire ancient ones. Would anyone really mind? Who would know? Breath streams, darkest only, some other one, this, these. Step out to solids, ground, snow, ginkgo branch, shed, lump, fence, ovoids, red pump, street lights, tiniest fungi, and an entire summer. Snow, house spills door, step into rope, shadow, limb rope that's still branch gash stepped into, not through. Bring the dog who is a cedar hedge. Luminescence then, ulna over eyes, yes, all in. Dark adaptation takes a few. May. The months aren't exactly lined up with some of the essays or paragraphs for the same reason I described earlier, is that you or one might work in recall. May. Unsure where to set the camp chair within this ongoing and ephemeral wetland. Some would call wetland an uninhabitable space, a tragedy, an exit loudly. Others note opportunity. Tufts, cattails, wayward insects, deadfall, open water channels, turtles and seeds, hummocks and leeches. Migratory pit stops and long stays. Song cackles. Aerial roots capture oxygen, precious and not abundant. Small discs and scales shaped for mist or rainfall. Geology's a through line. These species here, alder, nuthatch, hawk, beaver, bittern, innumerable, large and small and microscopic, are experts at indentation. They leave room for movement, crossings, channels, and dwellings. Seeds from other seasons are evident too. There is no stable place for the camp chair. I could sit on a log, but I intend to be here a while. Looking past tawny-colored reeds and species masked by variations of brown, black, green toward a large marsh thicket to the north, I notice a dilapidated blind about 12 feet high in a swamp maple. There's a way I can get into it, even if it might not be entirely safe. I lug the camp chair with me. Stepping through, over, with some sinking gets me there. After some clamor and heft, I'm in the blind. I see nothing moving for the longest while. Days, years, months, and entire seasons pass. Entire novels. A full season of pollen distribution by wind. Chorus frog chatter infiltrates my skin and ears until my teeth ache. I want to open my mouth and yaller. Time doesn't stop, it ceases to cooperate. It's just after dusk when I leave, dangling and dropping into saturated soil. The camp chair remains behind. My boot prints fill with water, which fills with green flecks. My return is indelicate and unpoised. The blind becomes less evident when I change how the parts of the apparatus relate. The camp chair is invisible, and so is my access. This season, anyway. It's another way of distributing value or fabricating a secret. If the parts make no easy sense, maybe the apparatus is not noticeable. Over there, a heron's collective nestery. A lumpy beaver lodge southward is an active knot of water snakes, and all that night, the chorus frog's high-pitched register is similar to the tactility of a branch, in sway from wetland air currents. Its rounded buds score traceries, doodles nearly, across my inner skin. July. Water snakes, stripped to the vertebrae. When we stopped to give her directions, marigolds in the season, flash of yellow. Later, September, say nothing. Allow iris, say nothing. Of note, the window slots, the draw cord. I raise them. You see four squares. You see one, no, two, no one, ambulance at 45. You see one gentleman. Do we know him? On a balcony at 12. You see 10 swallows at 15. You see two tables, one teapot at 6. We smile. Marigolds are the only season. Yellow. I hand you four smooth gray stones we found together. Years in the creek. Tell me again. We put one extra stone on the wide windowsill. You place four stones then. Central stone encircled. Keep your message clear. Yes, remind me. Gone home, you say. Woodland jumping mouse, or came across it, expired. Early spring, bluebird lilies beginning to bloom. November. Backward in. Trilliums, maples. Woodland jumping mouse lying where the leaf litter is flattened. Concept from ephemeral, in between, gerund, and the. Early blooms, shape thrown, holds three, these stems. Reflex, aperture, spout, bend. The leaf litter is flattened by trail users, its tail curved, its length. The women and her have walked over it minutes before. Woodland jumping mouse who came across it expired. Fox saw us, December. Buried, guess, beaded tint lilies, May flowers, May apples, selective looking. Being, is this the last place flipped? Eastern red turtle shell, re-remembered, deer femur joint, Joey, is it lilt? Did fern, were pin feathers profuse? Frass, note path, missing dates, self-erasing filter? The guy who sits on his porch watches the cars. That's all he can do. He has the time to watch or talk to anyone who walks by. Is this the last place flipped? Eastern red turtle shell, re-remembered deer femur, joint. Is it lilt? Were pin feathers? Did fern? Frass notepath, profuse, missing, dates, self-erasing, filter. It's not just character, he says. It's species. He. Thank you.
Chris, very fortunate for your words and for this set of poems that is now a book. So that brings us to the middle of the evening.
And you just heard from an October 24th event in the Driftline Press series created by Wanda Pramsma and Vince Perez. And you heard the launch of Chris Turnbull's chapbook with them called A Parts Path. And the event was held at the Baby Grand Theater. You also heard readings by guest poets Y.S. Lee and Jennifer Baker. It is almost 55 minutes after 4 o'clock. And right now, before we move into, we start to move into the second segment of the show today, my heartfelt thanks to all of you out there for having tuned in to the first hour, but also to Wanda, Vince, Chris, Ying, and Jennifer that evening for a wonderful first half of that event. And I'll be airing the second portion of that event in the second hour, so I hope you can stay tuned for that. I still have to close out this hour. And even before I do that, I really should do this. So let me do this, and I will be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by. He won't bother you. He's a busy man. He's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Hello, this is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. Does local news matter to you? CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st, and you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC raise $25,000 this year and make your gift today via CFRC.ca. Don't forget to tune in for daily news programming and subscribe to our news podcast to keep up with the latest in your community.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And just a quick reminder that every week I do upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years, and I try to get that done as soon as I get home. So it's usually around 7 o'clock. And so you'd be able to catch it then in case you missed any part of this or wanted to rehear any part of what's happening here today or going back any show for 3 years. I will say that it's pretty itemized, and I mean, if you look at it, you can see exactly what happened in any hour, what was played in like two or three sentences in every hour of this show. So it's kind of easy to locate if you're looking for something specifically. It's a little bit better than just seeing a time slot and a date. So anyway, before we were about ready to slide into the second hour, I will tell you that in addition to airing the second half of this event that you heard in the first hour, I will also play just a bit of music and also share some information, because I've got a minute here now before we actually slide over to the second hour. I will do part of that. I usually share calls for submissions and events. There are three calls calls that actually expire on December 31st. So I'm going to go ahead and shoot those out to you now. Big Pond Rumors Press is now accepting chapbook-length manuscripts for publication in 2026. They're looking for 20 to 24 pages of unpublished work as a whole. It says no AI or AI-generated poems. And for more information, please go to their, there may be a later one, but the first time I saw this was